This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. I had said something earlier today that needs immediate correction, which is that basically the families of the victims, the two people who died in the incident in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for which Kyle Rittenhouse was just found today, a few hours ago, not guilty, that those family members had not spoken out. Well, they did today and asked for consideration of the people who died as heroes. That's an amazing question. And it goes to the question about whether Kyle Rittenhouse is a hero or a martyr. And somebody who's very sympathetic to Kyle Rittenhouse and to his cause joins me, who had written before the verdicts a very important piece that I think is one of those few balanced, sane voices out there. And I would expect nothing less from my friend David French, who is senior editor The Atlantic. At The Atlantic, he is a contributing writer to the senior editor of The Dispatch, and he's a contributing writer to The Atlantic, co-host of Trinity Forum, and he is reachable. You can find him at the Dispatch. It's David French at The Dispatch. David, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've had a chance to think about the verdict. Your immediate response?
I'm not remotely surprised by it. And the reason is really pretty simple, and it relates to the very nature of self-defense laws. So a lot of the discourse and the narrative around Kyle Rittenhouse was precisely irrelevant to the outcome of the trial. So, for example, is it a good idea for a 17-year-old to grab an AR-15 and go towards civil unrest? No. Was it wise, once he saw the violence breaking out there, to stay there? No. Should you ask other people of the same age to do the same thing, or should you do the same thing? No, of course not. All of this is sort of, the questions about whether he was wise or not wise, it's all irrelevant to a very simple question, and that is, when he pulled the trigger, was he reasonably in fear of death or grave physical harm? That's what a murder trial with a self-defense is like, or is about. And so the evidence is really pretty strong, and was strong from the beginning, that in each instance he was either being chased or he had been actually attacked. And in those circumstances, defendants tend to prevail on self-defense claims. Not always. I mean, there was a way in which the prosecution perhaps could have proven its case, but the deck was stacked against the prosecution on the basics of the self-defense claim from the beginning. Now, that doesn't mean that's the end of the discussion about Kyle Rittenhouse by any means, but when you're going to make a murder charge, in every single instance where the defendant pulls the trigger, he's either being chased by somebody, somebody's hitting him with something, or someone has pulled a gun on him, you have an uphill climb.
There have been so many people who have claimed that this is a victory for the Second Amendment. I didn't see the Second Amendment anywhere there in the courtroom. Did you?
No. This is not a victory for the Second Amendment. In fact, I would say in some ways, because Rittenhouse it was foolish for him to be there. And the open carrying of that weapon and the carrying of that weapon, yeah, he used it to protect himself. But one of the questions I have is, was he attacked because he was carrying the weapon? And so, there's a lot of things that we don't really, there are counterfactuals we can't really comprehend But the idea that that's a victory for the Second Amendment is a little puzzling. I mean, self-defense law exists whether or not you've got a gun. Self-defense law applies no matter what kind of implement, including your bare hands, that you use to inflict deadly force in your own defense. So as a legal matter, no, this is not a victory of the Second Amendment. As a legal matter, this was a pretty straightforward, though complicated in some ways, application of standard self-defense doctrine in a super contentious public controversy.
And speaking of a super contentious public controversy, everybody agrees that this tide in politics has been running against Joe Biden and the Democrats and running toward Republicans. Do you think that the verdict here and the possible very angry reaction to it is going to interrupt that or confirm it?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I mean, because it could actually be superseded pretty quickly by the verdict of those who've been accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, the killer of Ahmaud Arbery and you know, his two accomplices. So, you know, we've got another major murder trial with a verdict coming here pretty soon. So it could be superseded. I think the only real material question, I think, is if there is violence in response to this verdict, which so far, I mean, as of the moment we're talking, there doesn't seem to be. I think if there's violence in response to this verdict, that's quite negative for the Biden administration. You got to realize that job one of the Biden administration when it was elected was to kind of bring some normality back to American life. Let's dial back the drama. Let's not have all the contention. And I think if America gets, you know, if there is some sort of spasm of violence in response to this, I think it's bad for the Biden administration. And the way that chaos in the streets is usually bad for every administration in which the chaos occurs. So,
let's make it clear that you aren't going to be advancing any cause with chaos in the streets. That's not any political cause at all. It's one of those points that I think recent history makes to us, is you don't help your cause with violent demonstrations. You never do. And by the way, that goes for demonstrations on the right, think January 6th, as well as demonstrations on the left. It accomplishes nothing and hurts people's lives and destroys civil peace.
Oh, there are a few things more well. I mean, number one, rioting is a moral wrong regardless of its political efficacy. And number two, rioting is political poison. So both as a matter of principle, what is it, right or wrong, it's gravely wrong. As a matter of pragmatism, it's gravely harmful. And so on both counts, you know, and this is something, you know, one of the great tragedies of 2020, for example, is that there was a period of time after George Floyd's murder where there was this wave of concern over racial tensions in the United States and dealing with police brutality in the United States of America. And then all of a sudden it got swamped by the concern over fires in American cities, over riots breaking out in American cities. Because the bottom line is, when social peace is shattered in that way, when lawlessness occurs in that way, it starts to drain from its practitioners any kind of moral high ground. And then it creates an immediate emergency that takes your eyes off sort of the longer term project. So it was one of the more self-defeating waves of violence. Virtually every wave of violence is self-defeating, but it was an extraordinarily self-defeating wave of violence that we witnessed. And if it's replicated again, which I hope and pray it won't be, then it will be self-defeating again.
And insane and purposeless and illogical, which David French never is. A material that he's most recently published is posted up at our website, michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back with the right antidote to senselessness. What is it? You'll hear.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is a great deal of commentary that needs to have the perspective that David French provides. I particularly want to call attention to his piece in The Atlantic that says Kyle Rittenhouse is no hero. He also acknowledges the fact that he has a very strong self-defense defense, which is exactly what prevailed in the jury's verdict. But the idea, I mean, when Matt Gaetz, who was a dubious messenger for the conservative cause in his own right with his own legal issues and future career issues in dubious shape because of aspects of his personal life and his professional life. But for Matt Gaetz to say that he wants to honor Kyle Rittenhouse as an intern or to bring him onto staff, I mean, please, you can feel sympathy for Kyle Rittenhouse without trying to glorify what he did. I'd mentioned at the very end of the David French segment that we were going to be delivering the perfect antidote to all of the unreason and insanity. And it has to do with a discussion of C.S. Lewis. We're coming up to the anniversary of his death, and his birthday is almost the same time. But he died on November 22nd. And talking about some of the meaning of the new movie, which is getting so much attention with John West of the Discovery Institute, that coming up a little bit later in the show. There's also a piece here that I think needs a little bit of a response. It's a long column, and it's a well-written column. And I say it's well-written because I have a very young individual, Nicholas Sandman. You may remember him. He was the grinning guy on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial who was treated as if he were some kind of racist and radical because he had come out to a March to Life rally. And Nicholas Sandman writes, "The media came for me like they came for Rittenhouse, but should he sue?" And he comes to the right conclusion that there would be no chance in a lawsuit. His people had asked Nicholas Sandman, to Kyle Rittenhouse sue for defamation against media outlets that had said terrible things about him, or even for that matter, the President of the United States, who had said before he was president, during the campaign, he had referred to Kyle Rittenhouse as a white supremacist, which there is no evidence of any kind that he is. And it isn't that they haven't looked for it. Of course, that would be relevant if you're trying to talk about his role in the night of August 25th of last year. In any event, the piece by Nicholas Sandman says, "To many, my red MAGA hat clearly meant I was a racist." He says, "In only hours, a former CNN host tweeted an image of me writing, 'Honest question, have you ever seen a more punchable face than this kid's?' And it was awful. Nicholas Sandman hadn't done anything. He was just standing there listening to a demonstrator who was a Native American. He hadn't threatened him. It was nothing. It was, and Nicholas Sandman, by the way, has actually won settlements with some of the media organizations, including, I believe, CNN, that had mischaracterized him. But he says Kyle wasn't given his day in court by his critics, and neither was I. The attacks on Kyle came from the same national news media, just as they came for me. They came quickly without hesitation because Kyle was an easy target and they could paint in the way they wanted to." No, Nicholas, that's wrong. They came after Kyle because he killed two people. And the whole point about you is you had done nothing wrong. And I know that Kyle Rittenhouse tried to insist on the stand that he had done nothing wrong. But again, you can make an overwhelming case that even coming out in the midst of a riot, and any police authorities would tell you this, it's not helpful to flood the zone with people on the other side. That encourages violence. And by the way, that is a very big issue in the case that is currently being heard in Charlottesville about the deadly riots there, where they have on trial right now a number of real white supremacists and real neo-Nazis and people who clearly deserve legal action against them. But the one thing that on the other side that, frankly, ought to also be taken into consideration is there were violent people on the other side as well. And the they will not have the same self-defense charge that self-defense plea that got the exoneration. It's not a really exoneration. Got the not guilty verdict for Rittenhouse, but it's the same idea. The idea that you are criticized by left-wing media for nothing, and which was the case with Nicholas Sandman, and here you have someone who is criticized after a deadly confrontation. He says, with Kyle's name dragged through the mud and this clear effect it is having on him, many have started to ask the question whether Kyle should sue for defamation. And he very intelligently makes the point that that's a waste of time. Because clearly when people are writing about their opinions about a murder case, it's protected speech. And if anyone came out and said something substantive that was simply not true about Kyle, for instance, saying he's a white supremacist, that's not true. But you have the defense that you would take in any defamation suit of saying that, okay, I believed he was a white supremacist. I judge him to be a white supremacist because of certain things he has said. It's very, very tough to prove that you are demonstrating, and this is the legal standard, a reckless disregard for the truth. You can say you believed something to be true, and what the person who is suing you for defamation has to then prove is that no reasonable person could have believed it to be true. And I would have no grounds for that belief. Nicholas Sandman, interesting comment, but comparison the two cases does not work, because the allegations in one case being based on a reality of two dead bodies. Coming back, talking about what C.S. Lewis has to say about all of the insanity before us. And something important, coming back.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A Wisconsin jury has found Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty of all charges in his double homicide trial. Rittenhouse remained still and emotionless as the verdict was read, but then broke down and sobbed soon after. Mark Richards, one of the defense attorneys for Kyle Rittenhouse, explains why Kyle was put on the stand.
We had a mock jury, and We did two different juries, one with him testifying, one without him testifying. It was substantially better when he testified, I mean, to a marked degree, and that sealed it.
President Biden is back at the White House after getting a physical and colonoscopy. Leaving Walter Reed Medical Facility in Bethesda, Maryland, Biden said he had a great physical. The president set to pardon the Thanksgiving turkeys at the White House later today. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
On the Michael Medved Show, I'm very proud to welcome back to the show my friend John West, who is the Vice President of Discovery Institute here in Seattle, which is such an indispensable source of common sense on a whole range of issues, including everything from the origins of the universe in which we live, to education, to public transit, all elucidated and enriched by the work of Discovery Institute and by Dr. John West. He's also someone who has made a life study of the work of C.S. Lewis. He's the author of The Magician's Twin, C.S. Lewis on Science, Scientism, and Society, as well as the author of the C.S. Lewis Reader's Encyclopedia. He's produced 3 short documentaries about Lewis and his views on science and scientism, which have attracted, wow, over 1 million views on YouTube. You can actually find out more about them. Go to michaelmedved.com and you'll see the material about Dr. West and about C.S. Lewis. Of course, I'm asking you, as somebody who's worked on these other works based on Lewis's work, how you reacted to the C.S. Lewis film. It's called The Most Reluctant Convert, that I have praised as much as I possibly can praise a film. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. Do you believe it was true to the substance and spirit of C.S. Lewis?
Oh, I do. And thank you, Michael, for having me on. It's great to be on again. And being on with one of the most thoughtful talk show hosts on the air, which is really great. I think, you know, most times when Hollywood does history, and that includes there was a film years ago about Lewis's marriage to Joy Gresham.
Shadowlands.
It was very famous. It was a beautiful film, both the BBC and then the Hollywood version, but it was also really grossly inaccurate. This film is a delightful film, and it is very accurate. I mean, right down to, you know, Lewis had a really troubled relationship with his dad, but sometimes his dad is just portrayed as a caricature, and here they gave a little more nuance because Lewis later in life felt guilty about how he had treated his dad, and so his dad was a character, but Lewis reflecting on it, I was glad it was a little more nuanced than that. So it was entertaining, but it was also accurate.
And in terms of, I mean, I was thinking about it because here we are, we're all consumed with this national conflict about the Rittenhouse case and about everything, which seems like almost a Hobbesian world of all against all at this moment in America. What would Lewis have to say about this current national situation we have?
Oh, boy, he would probably throw up his arms. You know, Lewis prided himself in claiming he didn't even read newspapers. I don't think that was quite true. But he liked to focus on the eternal, the most important things to the history of civilization. So I think if he were here and was really asked that, he might try to point back to that. So really the fundamentals. You know, in many ways, Lewis was one of the great defenders of the Western tradition, so Judeo-Christian, Greco-Roman, and the truths on which that tradition was based, and trying to articulate them for a generation, even in his own time, that was beginning to doubt those truths, and we've certainly seen that even more, and I think that is part of the base of the polarization, is you have to have some common ground not to be polarized. Even the idea that we should tolerate each other and have civility is based on some underlying assumptions that people are worth being civil to, and those are based on some really underlying beliefs that if they destruct, that it's really hard to maintain anything other than polarization. And so I think Lewis would try to call us back to some of those fundamentals.
Well, one of the fundamentals that is so much a part of all of his work and of your work, frankly, Dr. West, is belief in the power of reason, the belief in logic and argument and reasoning things out. And one of the points that Lewis made that is cited in the film, in fact, is that reason is not in opposition to religious faith. In fact, reason is impossible to understand without some religious faith, because one of the lines that he used is, otherwise you're just thinking that what's going on in the human mind is a bunch of electrons going through some kind of empty skull. And that, honestly, when you talk about gifts from God, our gift to be able to reason in our own minds and with other people is a divine gift, no?
Yes, and in fact, that's a wonderful part of the film where he's debating with his friend Owen Barfield about the meaning of reason. And Lewis is, as a materialist, is trying to argue, well, no, it was just produced by unguided Darwinian natural selection for survival value, but then why would you think that it has any way of showing you truth? I mean, you're really undermining the objective, you know, belief in reason in that. And I so loved it when his friend sort of made that point home. You have the wonderful, you know, actor who is playing the young Lewis, who he sort of has a deer in the headlights kind of look, has it, when he's really understanding that if you have this materialist conception that reason is just an accident of really the struggle for survival, you really have no reason to trust its judgment in anything. And that was a profound insight, you know, that Lewis, it really hit Lewis, and it helped move him from being a materialist atheist, you know, to being a theist. And interestingly enough, I've read Lewis actually had a copy of Charles Darwin's autobiography in his library, and Charles Darwin himself actually worried about, well, should he believe the results of his own theory because based on it, he'd have no reason to even have any confidence in reason. So Darwin himself sort of actually asked that question, and in Lewis's copy of Darwin's book, I've seen it at the Wade Center in Wheaton College, he underlined that part from Darwin, where Darwin was really questioning himself. Did he have any reason, based on his own theory, to have confidence in human reason?
Well, that's also cited in this film, The Most Reluctant Convert. And again, part of what I think is a wonderful part of this whole story, this whole larger story, is that we're so used to Hollywood movies, and this one is not based on a Marvel comic book. This one, nothing gets blown up. Although there are a few scenes of C.S. Lewis experiencing warfare in the Great War in World War I, where he was wounded. But the whole idea, and it's so fundamental, that science and religion are not opposed. It's different realms, and that it is not unreasonable. In fact, it is the highest respect for reason to believe that reason comes from a higher power. Have you spoken at all to Max, who plays McLean, who plays C.S. Lewis and actually helped to originate this project?
Yeah, I actually had about an hour, 30-minute conversation with him and interviewed him for one of our podcasts, and then interviewed the director of the film, Norman Stone. And actually, Max, in talking to me, said that early on when he developed the stage play that then became the film, one of the books that he read was the book I edited that you mentioned, The Magician's Twin. So,
wow.
So, and in some sort of very, very tenuous way, I guess, what I did played into it. But, it's you're right that science and faith aren't opposed. But, of course, I think you may need to go to a break. But.
We do go to a break, but we will be right back with John West about how some of these ideas and these approaches to reasoning things out could apply to helping America with some of the challenges we face right now. Right back with John West, Vice President of Discovery Institute, coming up on the MedVed Show.
Portions of the Michael MedVed Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
Very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I never cared for my name, Clive Staples. The world came to know me as C.S. Lewis. Perhaps you've read my books. But there's one story that's not so well known. It's my story. And who better to tell it than me?
And, by the way, there's a... very clever playing the Lord of the Rings music. I think that's a Jeremy Steiner innovation here. And why is that so appropriate? Because C.S. Lewis was a close friend and a long-standing friend of his colleague at Oxford University, J.R.R. Tolkien. And in fact, Tolkien was a active and believing Christian before Lewis was. It's in the movie. By the way, the special offer for MedVed listeners from Discovery Institute, you can go to discovery.org/MedVed, and they will be glad to send you a free digital booklet that explores C.S. Lewis's critique of moral relativism and coercive utopianism. And also in passing of materialism. I'm here with John West. Dr. West is the Vice President of Discovery Institute and is the author of two important books on C.S. Lewis and many other books that are worth mentioning and worth discovering. In terms of people who enjoy particularly some of Lewis's work, Chronicles of Narnia or Screwtape Letters, or and know him from his writing, what do you think they would be most surprised to find out about some of this attention on his personal development and his turn away from materialistic atheism?
You know, I think what they might, may be most surprised at is that later in life he became a critic of what he called Scientocracy. And although he was someone who was, you know, wrote about ethics and theology and all these other things, he actually had an interest in the abuse of science and the limits of scientific authority. So he was not anti-science, but he did think it should be in its proper place. And so if you actually are thinking about, say, in today's context, I think some debates that are very relevant over the last 2 years or more, you know, whether it be climate change or COVID lockdowns or you name it, and however one comes down on any of those particular issues, Lewis identified a key thing that I think is very profound for today, which is that scientists, you want to rely on the best science and the best things that they can give you. But when it comes to public policy, simply saying, well, science says this, therefore you must do something, that really goes beyond it has to be a larger conversation. And as he said, you know, let the scientists tell us about science, but when you're actually trying to figure out what the most important thing to do and how to try to balance competing interests and competing goods, that's a conversation everyone needs to have. And that was actually an essay he wrote for a British newspaper in the 1950s called Willing Slaves of the Welfare State, where he warned about the idea that we turn everything over to what he called technocrats and people who say, well, science says this, therefore you're anti-science if you raise any questions. And so, like, just to make it really relevant, in the last year, some of the lockdowns, depending on whether, you know, maybe they were right, maybe they were wrong, but what I think Lewis would have critiqued was the claim that, well, because we have this problem, therefore the only way to solve it is a lockdown, and that anyone raising, say, questions about, well, what are the costs and benefits, you know, how many people are we putting out of work, or how many people are we maybe leading to commit suicide or other dysfunctional things, that conversation of balancing competing interests, that actually is what our politicians and elected officials are supposed to do. So they just can't rubber stamp. It's not just science and public policy isn't just a science question. And that was in his last decade of his life. Lewis spent a lot of time from the late 30s to the 40s to the 50s talking about that.
And it's worth noting that even up to the time that Lewis died in 1963, there was a great tendency on the part of Marxism, communism, to treat their doctrine as scientific. They were trying to replace religion with scientific atheism, as they put it. And of course, there are many Marxists who still believe that Marxism is a valid science that should be up there with physics and chemistry.
Yep.
And that really relates very directly to materialism. And I know you've written about this. Explain.
Well, and also just on that point, that's a really interesting point, because when Lewis was living in England, many people were either, they were, a lot of the people who were anti-communist, unfortunately, were also soft on the Nazis, or vice versa. They were, you know, and Lewis actually was a critic of both totalitarianism on the left and the right, both Marxist materialism and also, you know, Nazi social Darwinist sort of materialism. And so, and he was somewhat unique, because there were a lot of people, if you read at the time, they weren't consistent on that. And so, yeah, Marx actually wrote to his friend Friedrich Engels that he thought that sort of the Darwinian account of going back to that we were just really animals, and that everything goes back to either, you know, class, you know, warfare, or in nature, struggle for physical survival. And so there's no room for God. And God, ideas, all these things are just sort of the epiphenomena that just spring from our material nature. And that ultimately reason really doesn't, you know, exist. And so a lot of the stuff that you get in the extreme wokeness today, that everything, we're so imprisoned by our race or class or sex that you actually can't discuss anything rationally with anyone else, and it's just power against power, that really does go back to Marxist materialist worldview, that ultimately that's all we are. You know, these brute animals that are just struggling against each other for survival. And that all our ideas are just a cover for power struggle. Now, of course, there's some truth there. I mean, the reason I think Marx got where he did is there's some truth there, but that's not the whole of reality. And so, yeah, Lewis was a great critic of that, in actually one of his books. It was a fictional book called The Pilgrim's Regress, where he actually talks in fictional terms about going on a journey. It's sort of not a parody, but built off of the old idea of Pilgrim's Progress. But instead of going, he's going through all of the things of Nazism, communism, Freudianism, all the things that were going around his time, and learning just how bankrupt they were in this sort of fictional story.
To see more on that and background, take advantage of the special offer for MedVed listeners, where you can go to discovery.org/MedVed. And they'll be very glad to deliver to you a free digital booklet exploring C.S. Lewis's critique of scientific materialism, so-called moral relativism, and coercive utopianism, which, by the way, has claimed so many hundreds of millions, literally, of victims in the century just past. Coming up on the MedVed show, we have a bunch of movies, including one that's quite remarkable, and that goes beyond the fine movie about C.S. Lewis we've been talking about, The Most Reluctant Convert. And we will also be talking a little bit about a new study that shows that nearly half of American young people, I'm so really close to half, now still live at home. This is up to the age of 30. And you were talking about people between the ages of 19 and 30 were usually, you're not associated so commonly with living at home. Is this have a positive element for American society? We will be getting to that. We will also be talking to a fairly attention-getting speech in Congress, in the House of Representatives. One member of the House, prominent member, spoke for 8.5 hours. And no, it was not Ted Cruz. it was not Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It was somebody else. And who was it, and what exactly did he have to say? We will get to that, play you some excerpts. We don't have 8.5 hours, unfortunately, to play the whole thing. But we will also be talking more about what's next and why the verdicts in two other trials are going to be very important in terms of the place in history of the Rittenhouse verdict for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
901-424-5280. 901-424-5280. That's 901-424-5280.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.